18 verses 1 through 11.
See if this, it's on here. No, there.
Matthew 18 verses 1 through 11. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Here ends the reading.
I'd like to invite children to come down. You can come. Big children count. I'm going to need a very brave child today. Is Hazel? Hazel, are you the brave child today? Okay, good. Can I pick you up? Okay, come here. Oh, thank you very much. She's my children's sermon. Isn't that sweet? You're sweet. I love you. Yeah. And we're going to show all these people some very important things. You ready? Okay. I'm going to have you sit right here. Would you do that for me?
Yeah.
I'll put you right in the end. Oop. Got your balance? Good. All right. Good. Good job so far. Did you hear what she said? Can I put you here? Yes? You're learning, I hope. All right. Now I'm going to have you lay down on it, okay? So you lay there. There we go. And you can wave at him, say hello. Perfect. All right. Who's next? Heidi. Diane. Well, you're really willing? I'll get help. I brought him up. You don't think he's just up here looking good? Yeah. Higher purpose. You can sit back down. All right, sit back up. You did wonderful. You did wonderful. Do you know what she did? She did what I asked her to do. And you know what? She did it with a smile on her face. Did you see that? And she even laid on the altar. Now, when we usually lay something on the altar, it's to remind us that it's a sacrifice. We lay it on the altar to give it back to God. Or if it was something else, sometimes they would sacrifice a lamb or a sheep or something else like that. But Jesus did an example with a little child. And it wasn't the pastor holding her. It was Jesus holding that little child in his arms. But she did perfect. You did wonderful. Give me five. Outstanding. Good job. You get to sit back down. I'm not sure you'd really let me put you up on the altar or not. I did debate whether I could get her done, okay? I was hoping maybe not to read you the text till after I made you lay on the altar. But you start to get the idea. So, here you guys. I want you to remember. Jesus loves little just as much as, and kids who are brand new, like 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, as much as kids who are 21. He loves them this much. This much. And sometimes he asks big people to think and live as courageously as little ones. Because she wasn't worried. What's the first thing Diane said to me? Are you going to be able to pick me up? Which was a perfectly logical question. The answer is not alone. Wait, I don't mean that rude. Wait, hold it. I take that. Wait. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. I know. Can I take it back out now? If it offends you, stick it in your mouth. I know. Anyway, that was so good. And I want you guys to know, when we do children's sermon, that's just as important to God as big people's stuff. And the things that you know in your head, in your heart, that's just as important too. Because she did everything that I asked her to do, and she did it with a sweet smile on her face. I want you to go home and listen and do everything Mom tells you to do with a smile on your face. And you too. And if you're anywhere near there, you too. And you too. And I know you do, so good. You too. And you too. You see? And the key is understanding God looks, I want you as faithful as a little one. I want your heart as open and obedient as a little one, even if the pastor asks you to do what? Lay on the altar. Can you remember that for me? Good. Today, we're going to do something special because we've got another person up here with us. He's going to get to pick first. Is that okay? Yeah, you get to pick. Come on in. Wait, not yet. You'll get to show a second. Here you go. There you go. Oh, better grab one for Autumn, too. I don't think there's a Snickers in there, but. There is one right here. I just saw it. Where'd it go? There you go. We'll trade you. She won't eat anything else. There you go. Here we go. Grab something and run for it. Here we go, hon. Yeah, you can have that one. Go ahead. There you go. You found another one. Good. So if you could pick, would you want beauty or handsome? Would you want intellect? Would you want power? Or would you want influence? Which one would you want? In varying degrees, we all long for those things. I wish I was a little younger, a little thinner, a little taller, a little here, there, whatever. I wish I was a little smarter. I wish we have the list. Disciples were no different. They asked a really interesting question to start our text out. And it says this. It says, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And they thought they were having the conversation that they were all going to be. It's kind of like, well, none of you are going to be there. You got the wrong, you know. But they had this really interesting attitude. And we all have been there. We do comparisons all the time. It's real. We just struggle with it. It's not something, you know, she doesn't even have to study for the test and she gets an A. I hate her. I have to study all the time and I get a C. Right? He can run so fast and he doesn't even have to hardly practice. And he finished a marathon, half marathon. And I wouldn't even be able to get through the end of the block, you know, whatever you want to say. Anyway, we do these things. Where they're real parts of our life. And they're the things that we struggle with and everything else like that. So I'm going, what do I want to teach you? I want to teach you this. In this section, I want you to notice how many times children are referred to. go, what? Jesus has a child. And I didn't want her to sit the whole time up on the altar, but he has a child, and he preaches this entire section, I think holding a child in his arms. And he looks out at the mature, so-called grown-up Christians, and he holds them accountable and says, can't you learn from a little child? You understand, if I really was going to bring an adult up, I would have tried to pick something that in their world would have been thoroughly embarrassing. Come on, show us how to dance. Oh, right? Or something else, something that they would go, I'm not going to sit there and dance in front of the whole church. Get out of here. On the other hand, she stepped up and obediently, okay, yes, okay, yes. Do you understand? I'm learning, listening to her, on the very thing that Jesus was doing to his disciples as he holds this kid in his arm. The kid has no idea in one sense how God is using him. I mean, he may have understood the words. He may not, because it says little ones. The concept is a child, Hazel's age, or younger, so that they're able to be carried pretty easily. And, you know, you begin to understand this is who Jesus is. He's using an example, and he looks at you, and he says, like the child. And if you do this, and child, there's five things I want you to notice in this text, because they set the tone for us to understand what this is really all about. And so when he invites this child up, first thing is the child obeys. Okay. You like doing that for Jesus? I have a job for you to do. Remember, we're joking and talking about, I was telling Bible study, I think I made every one of my waiters or waitresses this week except for one. Can I pray for you? And for me, that's a record. All right, but who cares? I mean, that's such a childish, stupid thing to brag about. Some of you look at that and go, what? It's like telling us you brushed your teeth. Good for you, big deal. You know, and that's true. And so here's what's going on. He goes like this. And he grabs this little child, lifts this child up so they can all see. Remember, these are probably several thousand people around him. All right, and this child, what would you feel? I mean, you might feel comfortable in front of 100 or whatever you have, but you may not be as comfortable if I said, we're going to bring you into the auditorium or in the middle of the Packer Stadium, and I'm going to ask you to dance. I'm not going to dance in front of all these people. You understand? And all of that kind of setup is around this moment. So watch what he does next. He called a little child, had him stand, and in Mark it says he picked him up in his arms too. I tell you the truth, number one, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now this is law. It's heavy. It doesn't let you squirm very far to the right or the left. It actually looks at you and says, how would you feel, how embarrassed would you feel if I told you, ask your waitress if you could pray for her? Oh, man, I don't know if I can do that. How embarrassed would you feel if I said, go hold up a sign along the road that says abortion kills children? Oh, man, I hate doing that. People beep at me and they flip me off. And how embarrassed would you be if I told you, wash somebody's feet? I'm not going to do it. How embarrassed would you be if I told you among your friends who are saying, let's go drinking, if you stood up and said, I can't, I've given my life to Christ, and I'll just take a rain check on it some other time. You understand, there are parts of your life that I want you to have and come under this theme that are bigger. We're going to hear about cutting off hands and feet and poking out eyes. If you don't get this, you're going to think you're supposed to cut off your hands and feet and poke out eyes. If it was as simple as that or as complicated as that, you wouldn't take very much to figure it out. What it is, it's going to ask you in your life, what needs to be cut off? What needs to be removed? I've been watching you talk to your wife and about your wife, and I've seen this. And this, and this, and this. It needs to be cut out of your life. And I've looked at your wife, and these are her thoughts and actions and the way she talks about you to her sister and her. And I want you to cut it out. See, this is far more practical and more real than sometimes we, you know, my hand may or may not offend by what I, you know, slap you or do something. God isn't asking me, he's asking me to come to the end of myself. Be like a little child. When I tell you, get up on the altar, yeah, okay. Sit still, okay. Lay down, okay. And he says, if you don't have that kind of heart, if you don't have that sense and that faithfulness and that kind of obedience, there's something wrong in our relationship. There's something. She did that. I don't know why she was so kind to me. Maybe because her mom and dad are nice to me sometimes and everything else. Whatever it was, she was willing just to quietly obey. Okay. She even waved at you. Ask her if she was embarrassed. I don't think that word even entered her mind. It would enter your mind, right? And you'd be getting all, I go, do you understand? Unless you become as this little one, you're never going to enter the kingdom. And I go, why would Jesus do that? Because he's asking for you to get on the altar. You have to understand, this is not a joke to Christ. It's not just a children's sermon. It is the biggest part of the sermon that the little ones have clear in their heads because they exercise it without any particular hang-up. The hang-ups come later. Oh, Pastor, she could hardly get up on the altar at all. Right? That's when the hang-ups come. That's when people mock, make fun of, or ridicule that we accumulate those things so that by the time we hit 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever age we have to start picking, we have got certain things. You just don't ask me to do that. I'm just too embarrassed. I just can't. And you can develop that attitude. And so he goes, first thing, first child, notice it, okay? Therefore, little one, unless you change like this little one. Change, by the way, means turn around. It means this is my behavior. I used to behave like this. And God says, turn around. I don't want you ever talking to people like that, thinking like that, behaving like that. Well, I had to turn around. Lord, I can't just talk to somebody and ask them if I can pray for them. Turn around, Bruce. Lord, I can talk and ask anyone to pray for them, can't I? You hear it? That's the turnaround. I'm so embarrassed. What if they think I'm a fool or something else or anything else like that? That's this side. I turn around and go, Lord, I'm going to willingly step out. I'm going to be obedient to you and trust that you're going to open doors. That's turning around. The difference is you hear the little child in me come out. The one that says, God is more than able. The one that says, I trust this guy. I believe when he picks me up, he's not going to drop me. I believe if he asks me to sit on the altar, it's okay. I believe if he asks me to lay down, that's all right too. I'll do what he asks me to do. That person is capable of being an old man saying, in you, Lord, I can't do it. Or excuse me, without you, Lord, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And you reverse it and God says, turn around. And I begin to do the very thing that I believed I couldn't do. Now you think that's something so silly and petty. All I'm trying to say to you, I am a silly and petty person sometimes. I don't want to be, I am. I don't want to be limited. I wish I wasn't. I want to be spiritually strong and spiritually alert and committed to the things of God. And there are times I don't back down, but I have these peculiar traits and characteristics. And I'm realizing in this sermon, what's God saying to me? Turn around. Become like a little one. And what was she giving me the sermon while I'm sitting up here listening to her whisper? Okay. Will you lay down? Yes. She was giving me the sermon. I don't know if you got to hear it in my mic or not, but she was giving me the sermon. Did she even know it? No. Did she have any prejudice against me? No. Did she have any, I'll show you how to do it, Pastor Armin, because you're just an old guy? No. She just was being who she is. And God looks at me and says, I can take you from this direction and put you in that direction. You understand? This is a serious call. This is not little children's stories. This is a little child teaching me what a pastor is going to take a bunch of words to say when she said, okay, yes, I will. The whole sermon was taught in that 3 minutes that you saw us interacting up there. God shouting it in my ears, in my head, in my understanding. Here we go. Watch the next one. Second one, children. It says in verse 4, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have an award for the most humble person in the church. That's me. Yeah, nominate myself. There we go. That's the right attitude. You get the hang of it. And I go, what's he saying? He's saying, she doesn't even know we're talking about it in one sense. She's over there. I paid compliments. I said, thank you, Jesus, for the gift of this child. I'm looking. She's not walking around going, Pastor, so lucky to have me up there. Just, you know, I hope he finally learned some lessons, you know. He's not doing that. What is humility? Humility is doing that which is obedient, faithful, good, and true, and just doing it because the Lord asks you to do it. And you're not looking for a reward, a pat on the back, look at me, a show-off kind of attitude. You're not doing it for any of those reasons. You're just doing it. He said, lay down. Okay. You sit back up. All right. Can I hold you? Okay. Do you understand? There is this unbelievable stream that God is using in this precious child looking at you and me, and he's asked this question, you know, do you understand what humility really is? Humility means I forgot the good I did yesterday. I want to just do more today. And if I did something nice for you yesterday, okay, I can't remember what I did. I just want to do 10 times more today. I'm not going to operate with my checkoff list. You know, Mom, I did do that. You ever do this one when you're like high school, teenager? I did the dishes on Monday, and then I dried on Tuesday. It's somebody else's turn. You ever played that one? You know, my son Nathan would always go to the bathroom. I mean, for hours. We would joke about it. Dad, you know, it was running water and whatever else. And he'd go, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. Well, hurry up. Okay. It's been 7 minutes. Yeah, I'm still going. And we'd sit there in the kitchen laughing our heads off. The kids, of course, weren't happy about it. But you begin, what's, you know, this very attitude. So very important. Next one. Verse 5. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. She didn't know when I asked her if I could use her. Okay. God expected me to treat her with tenderness and respect, to value that attitude, to value that vulnerability. You have to understand these are lessons that are so powerful. When God says, if you welcome this child with the right heart, the right attitude, and I've met people that somehow think kids are a pain. And some of you kids are, by the way. If you're not sure, ask your brothers, sisters, moms, dads, or the people around you. Okay? The standing joke, right? If you don't discipline your kids, people around you wish they could. Okay? But the idea is really this. Do you understand and value the preciousness of a little one who doesn't always understand your subtleties, your manipulations? I was not manipulating her. I was asking. But the vulnerabilities, do you understand that? And you begin to go, God goes, if you welcome that child, I want you to welcome that child. And as you welcome them with the right heart, attitude, and behavior, you're welcoming me. This is a manifestation of my presence among you in the preciousness of this little child's vulnerability. How many times am I supposed to forgive someone? 70 times 7. Well, I'm keeping track. That was 113. That's not what he's saying. Can you forget that you forgave them and just remember that you love them? You understand there's this relationship Jesus is trying to teach the disciples. He goes, I'm telling you, if you receive this little one, you're receiving me. And then he goes on a step further, and I want you to feel the intensity right now. I'm telling you the truth. If any one of these little ones who believe in me, if you cause one of them to sin, You dare to drag them down. You dare to create the word in the Greek as scandalize them, humiliate them, shame them, pull them into sin. Then he says this, it'd be far better for you to have the large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. This is not joking with God. This is not a little kid's sermon or a child laying on the altar. This is, how do I get through to you how intense this is? I'm not joking. I want you to turn around. I'm sorry, God. I can never be taught to be with a better attitude toward my wife or my husband. God says, you turn around. Or I'm closing that door. Turn around. All right. That's repent, right? You begin to understand how intense is this feeling. I'm telling you, if you don't figure this out and you start dragging down the little ones because you give them those hairy eyeballs, ever seen old people give them? Right? People can do that. Grandmas and grandpas can do that. Kids are good as long as they're in another part of the world or something. You know, that there's a mentality. I'm going, how can we do what we're doing to children and where we put, you know, 3,900 flags on our lawn? How can they do that? And here's Jesus going, you'd be better off having a millstone tied around your neck, be drowned to the depths of the sea. What's that warning for? People like me who won't speak up, people like someone else who doesn't do whatever we're supposed to be doing with the little ones. Here we go. Watch the next one. Then he comes into this little interesting little insert. Watch it. Woe to the world because of things that cause people to sin. He's listening to a thing on pornography. The statistics are mind-boggling on the people that are caught in it. And the intent of the pornographers is to catch kids when they're little. Little ones. Seeing, watching, experience what the older brothers and sisters maybe are old enough to watch on TV. But they're only 3, 5, 7, 12. And proceeded to talk about that. He says, woe to the people that cause such sin. Woe to the people who participate because they won't speak up. Woe to, you understand, I want you to feel the flavor of this. It goes, such things must come because the world is wicked, because we're born sinful. But woe to the man through whom they come. When God says woe, it's not like the horse, woe. It's kind of like, I don't know how to make it polite, damned. Damned. Lord, is this really that big of sin? Damned. That's the word woe. Carries with it such weight, such power, you can't squirm out of it, one to the right or to the left. And he goes on and he says this, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life maimed and crippled than to have two hands and two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fires of hell. I think there was whatever that old guy was, played the violin. He once said, I got robbed the other day. Said, guy walked up to me, put a gun in my face, and he said, your money or your life? And I said to him, I'm thinking, all right? And it's a joke because you go, are you kidding me? What do you want to value? What point do you think is so important to make that you're willing to break your wife's heart over it? What battle are you willing to fight for and die on, as they say, die on that hill with your son or your daughter that 1 year, 2 years, 10 years down the road, you will see what a pathetic person you really were? We actually would fight about where things went in the drawer. I told him I hate him because he couldn't figure out how to put his socks in the hamper. What are you wanting to die on? What are you willing to trade salvation for? You understand there is this lesson being taught right now. It says this. It's so powerful. It says you have to be prepared to cut off anything that hinders your walk with the Lord or hinders your obedience to Christ. I never told you you could talk to your wife that way. I never gave you permission to treat him that way because he's stuck with you and there is nobody else he's allowed to kiss or anybody else he's allowed to make love to or anybody, you fill in the blanks. I never permitted you any of those kinds of attitudes that said, you're my slave, get up and do this and get up and do that. I have a right to sit around and do nothing as the man or the woman. God says, I have to see you cut those things off. In order for me to do something as simplistic as deal with my fear of asking someone, can I pray for you, without picturing them thinking I'm peculiar, I have to cut off those feelings. I have to cut off those emotions. I got to cut off whatever you want to call it that keep me from being something different. Why? Because God says, become as a little child and do what I've asked you to do. Okay, Lord. And you've got your own. And there are many of them are not that small in one sense, insignificant. Sometimes they're far bigger. You are so harsh. You are so judgmental. Nobody measures up to your standard, but if we look at you and the life you live, your standard is not even measuring up to anything that the Lord would ask of you. And you're going, what's going on here? And I go, God is shouting at you. I am not joking with you. I expect you to treat people correctly. I want you to receive them like a little one. Yeah, but they're, receive them like a little one. You go, oh my goodness. Watch what he does next. Here we go. Verse 10. And don't let your Bible fool you that there's no separations, there's no verse marks in this. And I keep going on it, but here we go. Verse 10. See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones. What do you do when you see that child, hear that child? If you come to the movie on Wednesday, you're going to see the way people look down on the little ones. Well, they can't speak for themselves and other things like that. Watch what goes on. For I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. It's five child examples in this section. Every one setting the tone for what I want you to do. Something as simplistic as get your act together. Stop thinking you can't learn something new. Stop thinking that somehow that embarrassment, shame, whatever goes through your head can't be conquered by my word, by a faithfulness. Stop thinking that I can never unlearn how I talk to my wife or feel about this or having this attitude toward my mom or my dad. There is no limitation to the power of God. I came to seek and to save the lost, Jesus says. I came looking for the people who are so caught in their own foolishness, they can't figure out how to do even the little things sometimes. And I didn't come into this world to let you continue to get away with that which is wicked. I came into this world to save you, to rescue you. Become like a little one. Watch what I can do with a little one. I could have had her dancing on the altar. Were you ready for that one, Diane? I know. But you understand? It's one of those things where you go, Lord, give me the heart of a little one. Give me the ears and the trust and just the joy of a little one. I'm not staring at you. I'm just doing what he asked me to do. Hi. Right? I go, that's what God's calling his disciples to. He's calling us to that. He's asking us to please demonstrate that kind of faithfulness, that kind of obedience, that kind of commitment. Let the little one teach you. And in the moment you understand it, it's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be mysterious. It's not going to be, Lord, I don't even have understanding. What do you mean? The answer is, If I can turn him around, I can turn you around. If I can teach him to control his mouth and say things or not say things, I can teach anybody else. If she can do this, so can you. Pray with me if you would. Lord, I'm a victim of my own stupidity, arrogance, pride, stubbornness. I'm a victim, Lord, of my wretched sinfulness and the ever, never-ending excuses that I make about life and people and circumstances. You cannot teach me, Lord, not because you're unable to do it, but because I'm unwilling to be taught. I'm unwilling to trust. But I talk like I have faith in you, but I never let you change my heart. Therefore, my marriage never changes. Therefore, my friendship never changes. Therefore, my behavior in a restaurant never changes. And then I turn around and try and blame you. Lord, uproot anything in us that hinders the purity and the gentleness and the love that you held that child on that day. And remind every one of us, I want to love you and hold you like I held that child on that day. Be a little child in my arms and watch what we can do together. We pray this in your name, Lord. Amen.